Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
406, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Jeff, if I'm a Christian, what does the Shema mean to me? Great question. Jesus said the Shema twice a day, every day. Deuteronomy 6:4 tells you all about it. I mean, this is something that I would say brings many, many, many people together. What happened a year ago should have brought people together. Well, let me rephrase that. It should have brought the right people together. Instead, it brought all the wrong people together. You have people today, college students, on the campus of Columbia University saying that there must be, quote, one solution. Now, it's an interesting turn of a phrase, don't you think? One solution. I would ask you to look back not too far in history to Adolf Hitler, who came along with the final solution. And the final solution was the extermination of Jews, the eradication of every Jewish human being on God's green earth. That was his goal. That was the final solution. And it was well underway. I know that we're trying to be as fair as possible in the news coverage of this. But I will tell you that what's going on, especially at VCU, this is not pro-Palestine. This is pro-Hamas. This is anti-Jewish. I will share a couple of little things with you that you may or may not be aware of. Antifa, once again, has put stuff into place. Bricks, pallets of bricks downtown. Wow. Riot supplies in the city of Richmond. Those are for the VCU idiots, the useful idiots at VCU, who are running around chanting pro-Hamas statements. Maybe if you're 18 years old, you don't get it. I don't know. I really don't. 18, 19 years old, go, you know, this all fits in with the critical race stuff, right? Critical theory, which we have seen in place now in our public schools for a couple of generations. Critical theory tells you that there are the oppressed and the oppressors. That's it. You are either oppressing someone else or you are being oppressed by someone else. Period. End of story. The contemptible, palpable Jew hatred that has emerged has allowed those pimping critical theory to say the Israelis are the oppressors and the people in Gaza are the oppressed. What, of course, is left out of the entire discussion, I would dare say by design, is that the people of Gaza elected Hamas to lead Gaza. I mean, that was a free, fair, and open election. And they chose Hamas. Well, the Israelis are starving them, Jeff. Well, actually, that's not true either. The Israelis have facilitated deliveries of food and water, made sure electric was here, all sorts of stuff. But here's the problem. Hamas has stolen by the truckload the food and the water. Hamas has cut electric to certain places while keeping it on as best as possible in their terrorist locations. Hamas chose to embed terrorists and terrorist items inside the homes of people who live in Gaza. They are the ones who put missile-firing batteries inside of hospitals and schools and mosques. And it is by design. It is so when they are eliminated, despite the pinpoint accuracy of much of the technology that Israel has developed, there will be civilian deaths. And then, because you have anti-Semites in the ranks of the legacy news media around the world, who have been educated in the critical theory that says you are either the oppressed or the oppressor, and you don't get to say which one you are. Somebody else has given you that label. And then with that, well, Israel's, they're the bad guys. They're the bad guys. And that is aided and abetted by people like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and every other one of these folks on the left who is letting their inner anti-Semitism bubble to the surface. Where's Mark Warner? Where's Tiny Tim Kaine? Good questions, don't you think? How about Abigail Spamberger? Another phony. She's speaking up for the people of Israel? She's speaking up for Jewish people in general? No, she's not. And if you don't think that is by design, then you're an idiot. No offense, but you're an idiot. This is one of the ugliest situations I have ever seen. And I don't want to sound like somebody's father or grandfather or great-grandfather. Well, you know, back in the day. But I got to tell you something. I'm looking at this, and I'm just thinking to myself, man, I really don't think I've ever seen anything like this. You know, the Arab states around Israel that have consistently attacked Israel since the founding of the modern state in 1948, they make it a point, if at all possible, to attack on Jewish holidays, right? The Yom Kippur War, 1973. This particular slaughter took place on Simchat Torah. And in fact, after they were done slaughtering the innocent teens and early 20 folks at the Nova concert, they then went into neighborhoods. Now you hear the phrase kibbutz. It's basically like saying a subdivision. I think that's the best way to say it, the best comparison to be made. It's like a subdivision. Oh, we live in, I don't know, whatever subdivision comes to mind. And they went door to door. Now, every house, every apartment in Israel has a safe room. Why? Well, because of situations like this. And the terrorists, despite being the absolute sludge of the earth, not necessarily stupid. They know that. And so they went door to door, knocking on the doors, saying Chag Sameach, Hebrew for happy holiday. But they went to one kibbutz in particular, one neighborhood, one subdivision. It's filled with all secular Jews. They didn't even know it was Simchat Torah. They had no idea. And we're in that phase right now. I got to tell you something. For my people, we got like a billion holidays this month. It just come one after the other. And they went around saying, oh, happy holiday. Happy holiday, trying to get people out of their safe rooms. They destroyed everything for the sake of destroying it. They raped children. They raped little girls, babies. They decapitated people. They tortured grandmothers. You need to be aware of this. It is why today is just a little bit different. I've got some more texts that I will share with you in a moment. The Chronic Care of Richmond text line is available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 415, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 421, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I want to give you a sense of what happened last year. I mean, I know I'm sitting here and I'm sort of blabbering on and on about my feelings today. And being very honest with you, I would rather not be here. I would. The weird thing is, I'm not quite sure where I should be. There's a part of me that says, well, you should be sitting in a synagogue somewhere, or in some way remembering properly. You should be at the JCC this evening for the event. Well, is it an event? I mean, it's a get. I don't know. I don't even know what to use the word. I mean, it's a memorial service is what it really is. I'm looking at Governor Youngkin. God bless him, by the way. What a great man. Traveling to Southwest Virginia to deal with the situation there. Traveling out to the eastern part of the state this morning to commemorate the victims of October the 7th. This evening, he's going to be over on Monument Ave at the JCC for an event they're doing. I think it's 7 o'clock. I can't go. I can't go. There's a part of me that says I really need to be there. And again, it's about family. What are your family obligations? Well, my big obligation is to family. So now I got to start kind of, you know, compartmentalizing, right? Family writ large, the Jewish people, so I should be over there, the JCC at 7. Family in the micro, Julia. Joe's not here. Emily is gone for the day. I mean, you know, they it seems like they always travel together because they're always together. But anyway, so they went out. So it's me and it's Julia. Okay. Well, I got to take care of Julia, so I won't be over at the JCC this evening. Believe me, I'll be there in spirit, but I don't know where I should be. There's a part of me that says, man, you just need to be somewhere doing something. I'm hoping this is it. But I do want you to remember what happened after October the 7th, 2023. Germ, if you would, please cut number one.
The health ministry in Gaza, run by Hamas. The health ministry in Gaza, run by Hamas, says more than 7,000 Palestinians have been killed.
NBC News now learning between 200 and 300 people were killed in a bombing targeting a hospital. That's according to a spokesperson for the Palestinian Health Ministry.
Palestinian health authorities say the hospital was struck by an Israeli attack.
Hamas is saying that this was the Israeli Defense Force.
That is what many people here believe.
What the Palestinian government is calling a war crime.
A direct hit from an Israeli airstrike.
This hit on the hospital.
Directly hit by an Israeli strike.
The hospital strike.
There is a sort of both sides pointing the finger at one another.
This kind of death toll is not what you normally associate with Palestinian rockets.
Hamas does not have the kind of munitions that could do this kind of damage.
Hamas officials say the death toll in the Gaza Strip is now over 6,000.
Hamas says Israeli airstrikes have killed more than 7,000 Palestinians.
Hamas says Israeli strikes in Gaza have killed almost 50 hostages.
According to Hamas officials.
We spoke to a senior Hamas official.
That's not only according to Hamas and Palestinian authorities on the ground in Gaza, but that's according to international rights groups, according to people we've been speaking to.
New reaction to President Biden's visit to the Middle East from a spokesperson from Hamas.
There are instances in the past where the Israeli military has said things in the immediate aftermath of an incident that have turned out not to be true in the long run.
Oh, okay. Hamas makes stuff up. You know what's interesting to me? All of these fine, upstanding legacy news media hacks that are part of that little montage. They're showing videos. Videos of bodies wrapped up in sheets. What they're ignoring is that some of those bodies are moving. Why? Because it's a photo op. Because it's propaganda. It's agitprop. Images, videos of men holding children. Oh, my child has been killed by those nasty, ugly Israelis. Anybody notice that the child is actually wiggling around a little bit? Because the child's not dead. Now, I'm not telling you that there aren't civilian casualties. There are a lot of civilian casualties. This is how you fight a war. A war is fought by two sides. Right? Let's make it as easy as possible. A versus B. A fights B and inflicts damage on B until such time as B says, that's it, we're done. End of war. That's how this goes. It is ugly. It is painful. And it is what it is. 426, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 436, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. It is October the 7th. 1 year ago, despicable, vile terrorists slaughtered 1,200-plus innocent people in Israel. It is for Israel, the equivalent plus.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of what September the 11th was for us. And I know that ordinarily we got a lot of things that we're discussing, and we'd ordinarily have my friend Carl Carlson on, talk a little bit about the markets. We're not doing any of that today. I will tell you again, this is a day that I am determined to make sure that nobody forgets. And it is rapidly being pushed into the trash can. And we take a look right here in Richmond, right? VCU students chanting, hollering, screaming pro-Hamas statements. I don't know. I guess they think it's cool. They get a keffiyeh. They get to pretend they're hiding. It all ties into the critical theory, oppressed, oppressor nonsense. And I'm going to get Charles to do the Hebrew. I promise. No. It's David. And it's tough. But he's doing a good job. Knesset and David. Those are the two words. He aces those by the end of the day, the end of the broadcast. He gets an A+ from me. He's doing a great job, and we're happy and fortunate to have him. My friend, Dr. Paul Teller, somebody I've known for, it's got to be 20-plus years. We were Lincoln Fellows together out of Claremont. And, well, Paul has gone on to great things. Paul is somebody who is in D.C., has always been in D.C., an active, brilliant sort of a guy, and we get a chance to chat with him. I'm just thrilled to do it. Paul, thank you for being here.
Oh, it's a great honor. Great to hear your voice and be, you know, reconnected.
Yeah, it's good to have you here on such a day. I am in many ways at a loss for words, and I'm lucky that you are not. You are in the midst of this in D.C. I'm troubled, Paul. I got to tell you, we've both got kids on college campuses. To look at these idiots running around shouting pro Hamas stuff, wearing keffiyehs. What's going on?
Well, I mean, and that's the thing too, right? It's something that's so hard to believe. And like you said, it is hard to find the words. It's one thing to have different political opinions, right? Left, right, center, et cetera, et cetera. But like you said, we've got American kids on college campuses, American professors, literally supporting terrorist organizations that use sexual violence as weapons of war. And they're kind of like, go Hamas. I mean, it's just stunning.
I look at some of those young girls. I mean, they're young as far as we're concerned, right? They're 19, they're 20 years old, college students.
Yeah.
Wearing keffiyehs, supporting Hamas, and you just want to shake them and go, you do understand that they rape teenagers and children as part of their war efforts. Are they not aware of this?
You know, I think there's at least some of that, right? Some of it is ignorance. They don't really get it. They're not getting the same information sources that we are, or they believe that even if they see some of the images, oh, that's AI, it's fake, it's, you know, Israeli propaganda, Jewish propaganda, blah, blah. You know, so if they're already disinclined to, you know, believe anything a Jewish person says or an Israeli says, you know, what's a few horrible images that they could just write off as, you know, fake or something like that? So it's, I think they're just not believing it's really going on.
What about the politicians? You, good, bad, or indifferent, you are enmeshed there in D.C. and you know that your mom and dad, well, yes, we are very proud of you, Paul, but when we said doctor, we meant doctor, a doctor, maybe doctor,
right.
A dentist,
but,
you know, this PhD stuff, I don't know. But
that's right.
Look, you're surrounded by these folks. What are you hearing and seeing? Is there anybody there that's actually standing with the rule of right?
Well, that's actually the good news, is we could proudly say the conservative movement is just universally with Israel. Okay, sure, a couple of handfuls of exceptions here and there.
Yeah.
But I mean, in terms of just the dominant culture and messaging and beliefs in the conservative movement, it is just strongly with Israel. Not even like a little bit, kind of, sort of. I mean, it is just hitting the back of Israel in every possible realm. Unfortunately, we're not seeing that on the other side, whether it's don't know if we call it the liberal movement, whatever the equivalent is, or just Democrat Party. You see divisions. You see open hatred on the floor of the House from Democrat members. And, you know, you just see the equivocation. Even come Vice President Harris's remarks today, I don't know if you saw them just an hour ago or something like that. You know, it starts off beautifully, the Jewish people, and it's such a terrible day. We stand with Israel, whatever. And then it's always the yeah, but, right? Yeah, but we also, you know, feel sympathy for the other side. And by the way, they're funding the other side. Yeah. And, you know, by the way, they're calling for a ceasefire, which ceasefire means you don't really support someone's right to exist, right? If I said, like, I support your right to defend your home with a gun, you just can't shoot the gun.
Well, That's right.
You don't really support your right to defend the home. You know, I mean, it's the same thing with the country, right? Like, America supports Israel's right to defend itself, except it really doesn't because it's calling for a ceasefire, which, of course, only benefits the enemy. So it's just crazy.
Dr. Paul Teller is joining us from Washington, D.C. Paul, let me ask you about ceasefires, because I'm not a mathematician, right? I always tell people I don't want to do numbers. I don't want to solve for X. I was a blue book guy. I want to tell you how you feel about solving for X. But even I know October the 6th, there was a ceasefire. It was in place, right?
Right, absolutely. And also, one thing, and I put this in an op-ed that actually ran in JNS today, the Jewish News Syndicate. Instead of talking about ceasefire, wouldn't it be great if our American government, allies on the left, and, you know, frankly, the whole world, would be talking about surrender? Well, how about the enemy should surrender, right? I mean, that's what we want. Lay down your arms. That's the easiest way to peace, because there'll be no more killing on either side, right? In other words, if Israel lays down its arms, it'll be destroyed and overrun. If the Palestinian and Iranian proxy side lays down its arms, you have peace the next day. We could start with the settlement and work from there. So, I mean, that's what we've been saying, is it doesn't have to actually continue with violence. It actually could end like today, but it's got to be a humiliated enemy who surrenders and says, okay, I give up laying down my arms. Let's talk about, you know, going forward and who controls that land and that government.
Well, Paul, let's face it. Since 1948, the founding of the modern state of Israel, all that the Israelis have wanted was to live in peace with their neighbors, right? That was it?
Yeah. No question. No question. In fact, that's the irony, too. And, you know, this sometimes gets lost. But the folks who were the most targeted on October 7th last year, the ones who either were, you know, fell victim, you know, in death or were maimed, otherwise injured, were actually, by and large, people of the political left persuasion in Israel, who said, we want to live in peace with our neighbors. In fact, so much so we'll prove it. We'll live right on the border of Gaza, and you'll see it'll be just fine. So ironically, you know, Hamas and the Iranian proxies are killing the people who were most supportive of living side by side with them. I mean, it's just absolutely outrageous.
It is outrageous. Now, tell me a little bit about these op-eds, because I'm told you've got two op-eds. You got one, you said, today, JNS. What are you addressing, and more importantly, where can we find them?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, JNS. You know, I wish I had the whole long
URL. I'll find memorized. It. Don't worry about that.
Perfect. Yeah, do a quick Google search. That's the main one to really pull up, because again, that lays out basically. It just reminds folks where we were, like what's happened, what happened a year ago. Because people forget some of the details, where we've been since then. And again, we, you know, respectfully call for going forward means the enemy needs to surrender. We need to force a surrender. And how do you do that? Frankly, political pressure from around the world, and obviously military might backing that up. So if you look back as an example of World War II, right, you really didn't get true peace until the Japanese were forced to surrender. The Germans were forced to surrender, et cetera, et cetera. So I see it similar here, that a violent enemy, you know, like Iran and its proxies, that's committed to the destruction of Israel and the Jewish people, isn't going to stop because it's nice and you kind of persuade it. It's got to be overwhelming military might combined with, you know, diplomatic pressure, forcing them to be humiliated, right, and to surrender as a result.
All right, so I don't do predictions, and I know you don't do predictions, but again, you're right in the middle of this every single solitary day. What's your sense? Do we get that, or is it just going to be more of this mealy-mouthed garbage we've seen from the White House so far?
You know, I hate to say it, but yeah, I think until we see, if you will, regime change in Washington, D.C., you're going to get more of the same. It's hard to see how all of a sudden, you know, Biden and Harris are going to be, you know what, I've had a change of heart, especially, I don't know if you saw a couple of days ago, Vice President Harris tweets, or I mean, maybe that's an interesting slip up there, but Vice President Harris tweets that how proud she is of her administration offering, I think it was $157 million to Lebanon for humanitarian relief to help with the suffering there. And again, two problems wrong with that, right? One is you're literally giving money to an enemy of Israel in the middle of an openly hot war. Right. And then two, think of the insult if you're an American citizen, let's say in Western North Carolina, Tennessee, that's Georgia, Florida, recovering from Hurricane Helene,
that's right,
and you're having trouble getting supplies, getting relief, even having FEMA drive around a road closed sign, if you've seen that story, and you read that, oh, but the vice president can quickly snap a finger and get $157 million into the Lebanese civilians, you know, it's just a slap in the face. So just truly terrible on both accounts.
It really, really is. Now, I got to ask you while I got you here, because your day job, if you will, when you're not offering brilliant insight and all the rest of it, you're helping my old buddy Mike Pence put together
one
or two papers and thoughts. Tell Mr. Pence he owes us a call. Just FYI, I'm just saying, because, you know, we were, you know this, we were baby talk show hosts together in Indianapolis 1,000 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, absolutely.
He went on to do one or two other things, I know. But, you know, nonetheless, but he is helping to lead the charge, is he not, Paul, especially with the Christian community in America to stand with Israel?
Oh, no question. And you know, that's what's beautiful working for a man like Mike Pence. He's not someone you have to convince to support Israel or to say something strongly supportive of it publicly. You know, it's not like, hey, boss, got an idea. Let's sit down for a four-hour meeting and go over the pros, cons. I mean, you really don't even have to even suggest it. He just does it. It's in his gut. It's natural to him. And you're right. While he, of course, intersects with all kinds of communities regarding Israel, he's especially powerful with the conservative Christian community saying, you know that the Bible says we must stand with the Jewish people and with Israel, and he lives every day supporting that concept, and it's just been fantastic.
I love it. I love it. Well, listen, I'm Yisrael Chai, my friend. I appreciate you being here.
Amen.
And we'll talk again soon.
Appreciate you. Thank you again. We'll be in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you. That is an old friend of mine, dear friend, Dr. Paul Teller. Brilliant guy. Absolutely brilliant guy. He has been inside the conservative Republican movement in the House, in the Senate, standalone operations for years and years and years. He and I, as I said, we were Lincoln Fellows together out at Claremont a long time ago, but good, good guy. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 455. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I know you're thinking, wait a minute, Jeff, I didn't tune in today for some Hebrew lessons. I'm not here for lessons on Jewish history. I'm here for your, you know, Jeff Katz show. It's usually fun. You got something good to say, or talking about some of these nitwit politicians. Well, no, I understand all of that. I understand all of that. But it is October the 7th, and it is 1 year after. 1 year to the day after, on our calendar, what happened in Israel. Slaughter of innocents. Thousands of people now. How about the hostages that are still being held? You know there are Americans still being held. Are you aware of that? I've heard absolutely nothing from Kamala Harris or Tim Walz or Joe Biden or Mark Warner or Tim Kaine or Abigail Spamberger on any of the Americans that were killed, the Americans that are being held. Nothing. There you go. There's a dose of the regular show, huh? It's a terrible situation we're in. A little bit later this evening, 7 o'clock at the JCC, Governor Glenn Youngkin, and the community will gather to remember the victims, including a very special victim as far as Central Virginia is concerned, Hirsch. Tomorrow at 6 a.m., my friend John Reed will be here. Make sure you are here for that. 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.